Reardon heard Bertram scutter outside of the group, say to a girl who made some sound of indignation. "Don't let him disturb you. You know, money is the root of all evil, and he is the typical product of money." Reardon did not think Francisco could have heard it. Francisco, turning to them with a gravely courteous smile. "So you think that money is the root of all evil?" said Francisco d'Anconia. "Have you ever asked what is the root of money?" "Money is a tool of exchange which can't exist unless there are goods produced and men able to produce them. Money is the material shape of the principle that men who wish to deal with one another must deal by trade and give value for value. Money is not the tool of the moochers who claim your product by tears, or of the looters who take it from you by force. Money is made possible only by the men who produce. Is this what you consider evil? When you accept money in payment for your effort, you do so only on the conviction that you will exchange it for the product of the effort of others. It is not the moochers or the looters who give value to money. Not an ocean of tears nor all the guns in the world can transform those pieces of paper in your wallet into bread that you will need to survive tomorrow. Those pieces of paper, which should have been gold, are a token of honor, your claim upon the energy of the men who produce. Your wallet is a statement of hope that somewhere in the world around you, there are men who will not default on that moral principle which is the root of money. Is this what you consider evil? Have you ever looked at the root of production? Take a look at an electronic generator and dare tell yourself that it was created by the muscular effort of unthinking brutes. Try to grow a seed of wheat without knowledge left to you by men who had to discover it for the first time. Try to obtain your food by means of nothing but physical motions, and you'll learn that man's mind is the root of all goods, of all the goods produced, and of all the wealth that have ever existed on earth. But you say money is made by the strong at the expense of the weak. What strength do you mean? It is not the strength of guns or muscles. Wealth is the product of man's capacity to think. Then is money made by the man who invents a motor at the expense of those who did not invent it? Is money made by the intelligent at the expense of the fools? By the able at the expense of the incompetent? By the ambitious at the expense of the lazy? Money is made, before it can be looted or mooched, by the effort of every honest man, each to the extent of his ability. An honest man is one who knows that he cannot consume more than he has produced. Francisco d'Anconia, Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. I think the key line in that excerpt was value for value, or at least the most topical, given we had a big drop in the podcast space by Adam Curry with his new podcast Index, which looks really cool, uses the Lightning Network and the Sphinx app, so kudos to them on that. And sort of relevant, as we're all working on things to really just make these layers above on Bitcoin. So, you know, he's working on Bitcoin, and in turn, the Truth Social Network is working on Bitcoin to extend the functionality. So we're all working on Bitcoin, and really, whether we're aware of it or not, we're all working on the Truth Social Network. And that's sort of like life. We're all working at the same goal, whether we choose to acknowledge it or are aware of it or not. And that's particularly relevant side topic is becoming awake and aware of the world that is unfolding and manifesting around you. In other words, we're all partaking in the proof of work of life, and submitting our solutions towards the wider collective of planet Earth. And Bitcoin has solidified our success, and we have already won. Bitcoin is artificial intelligence in the sense that it has us all aligned towards the same incentives, not in a, you know, movie type of way or a hyperbolic sense of the word, but we are all cells in the same human body, wider organism, working towards the same goal, hashing away. And there's no undoing the proof of work that has already been set in motion. The dominoes have been falling. And so before we really get into the meat and potatoes of this one on the Truth Social Network and a few cool things I'm going to talk about, wanted to just quickly touch upon this concept of destroying the present to prevent the inevitable future, and how this in and of itself is the real concession, right? The hot word right now, concession. So if you're participating in a chess game for all the marbles and the whole world is watching, and you get to a certain point where five moves ahead, you've lost. No matter which way you play it, you can, the game is already over, so you could play another move and you're four moves away from your fate. You can keep playing, then you're three moves away, but your fate is inevitably the same. Now, of course, at your own realization of your inevitable fate, you surely could get up, throw the chessboard against the wall in front of everyone, and everyone knows that you lost, and make a proclamation that you have won, or, you know, you can just literally blatantly and flat out cheat and steal an election in front of everyone. And this isn't about Trump, you know, or, you know, the QAnons or any of that, at least not directly. But the point is, whether, you know, the courts officially rule in Trump's favor or not, it's starting to look like they will, at least if you're a keen eye and watching those betting markets, looks like some people know something about what's happening as that turns. But regardless, the board was thrown against the wall in front of everyone, and everyone could see it. And so now what's the world we live in, right? And, you know, similar to, you can create a fake pandemic at the exact time that your entire system was going to collapse anyway, already was in the process of collapsing. But so now what do we have, right? Let's appraise the reality around us. Those same people you think are so stupid that could never grasp some of these concepts that put the nails in your coffin are now, by way of nature, forced to study statistics and probabilities and analysis and evaluation of evidence. And this is the topic du jour of planet Earth now. You know, it's unavoidable, and so the inevitable conclusion people are grasping is, well, you can't flip a coin 500,000 times in a row and get the same result, and amongst other things. So similarly, you learn the fallibility of increased testing of coronavirus, and how the more testing you do, the more results you're going to do. And the veracity of testing a particular thing will naturally increase the number of cases you get for that thing. And you can shock and terrify the public into thinking it's a plague, but given enough time and enough rights taken away, you are essentially forcing your own demise and encouraging the rational appraisal of reality, in a survival of the fittest like fashion of those you seek to rule. So, no more sports ball, no more this, no more that. No more going to the bar for a drink, no more going to have a bite out at the restaurant. And for something that's equivalent to the flu in terms of deaths. Anyway, but we digress. So now you have a world where all the games of that have been played formerly with the economy and statistics of CPI and packing bags of chips with one half the amount but charging the same price, and all the little parlor tricks that you got by on are being learned by the populace with regards to the coronavirus, and now with the election, and all the skills needed to evaluate evidence is only improving. And now you have Bitcoin exploding, and there's absolutely nothing stopping that, I think it's safe to say now. So you're going to have a populace that's learning more about cryptography and evaluating forensics of computers, security, and all that good stuff. So, what does that mean for you? I'll let you deduce that or not at your own on your own hide, right? So anyway, as the Bitcoin scoreboard continues to explode, and the dam of truth continues to violently break, throwing the chessboard against the wall is in and of itself a concession, but you can engage in your delusions of grandeur and cognitive dissonance to the grave. So let's move on. Truth social network, some big things, right? I'm gonna talk about a fun topic of should you mine your enemy's clout? And then we're gonna talk about, well, maybe first we'll talk about earning and spending your own clout, right? Also, just to put a period on that last line of thought, in conclusion, it's like who has the most to lose in an environment where everyone is capable of most efficiently and effectively and accurately evaluating evidence? I'd say would be those who are guiltiest of the worst crimes or the biggest mass atrocities against humanity, systemic atrocities, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. So anyway, So, how do you get a hold of your own clout, right? Naturally, you'd want to have some of that sweet, sexy clout of yours. Assuming you believe in yourself and your future ability to produce, whether it's content or anything else. And well, you'd have to either mine it like everyone else, right? You gotta put up the hash power. You have no special advantage, right? It's once you set your date for your official cloud chain Genesis block, everyone's got an equal opportunity to mine, so you got no special advantage there. But the whole point is, when people tip you, right, that's how you earn. Further, when you provide products or services over Cloudtrion, that's how you earn and get a stake in your own clout, right? So you don't have to be able to mine to earn your own clout. You do want to put out lots of content to get tipped. You do want to put out some nice Cloudtrion stuff potentially, if that was your thing, and that's how you get in. So unless you got the hash power to mine or the Bitcoin to buy some cloud on the open market, which anyone can do, you have no special advantage. You got to earn it, baby. Now, I mean, you could say, well, what are you going to do with that cloud aside from hold on to it? You can't spend it with yourself for your own services, but you want to have your own clout to tip others and reward those who engage with your block publishing server and with your address, whether it's in replies or official references. You want to reward those who are engaging with you, right? And further, you also would be able to use it to tip on server feeds, your own clout, because all clout is really gonna be eventually, ideally, just easily exchangeable and fluid at some rate near, the relative ratio of each cloud chain's difficulty, right? So whether it's directly tipping references on a server feed, so you could use that to tip on a server feed, either by exchanging it for that server feed's clout or just simply directly tipping your own clout to those references, which they could exchange it. And I guess there could be some universal clout score type of thing, which just takes into account the current difficulty of all the various clout you have, right? But so that enables you, and if say there was like a YouTube like server feed, right, where you got to get their clout. This way, if you've earned your own clout and it has some difficulty, i.e., value, non-zero value, you wouldn't necessarily have to like use your own Bitcoin or get some hash power to earn the server feed's clout, because you earned your own clout, which has some non-zero difficulty. So at the proper rate, you could use that at a server feed. So if you have to tip a, video, like tip a server feed, or I should say pay a certain price to get a video posted on a server feed, well, if you've earned some of your own clout, and if it has some difficulty behind it, then you get to use that in other parts of the system, right? So it's a lot of reasons it's good to get to earn some of your own clout. Not only can you hold on to it, then you get to spend it in other places. Now, naturally, you're gonna, once you get your hands on some of that clout, or even the people who are mining your clout to start, you could imagine those who participate the most with your block publishing server, and engage in your content. In the early days before cloud has really bootstrapped the value, you're gonna get heavily rewarded. Those who participate with, the earliest, like the first people to reply on a block publishing server, and those first weeks, months, years are going to be probably tipped a lot. Like even if you don't love a reply, at least in the early days, if you kind of would reward them for engaging with you. It's sort of like, in the early days of Twitter or YouTube, it's if you had like some like the biggest people would, get the most likes and all that. So you get people, whether this is a good thing or bad thing, fucking some celebrity is one of the first people to use Twitter or whatever it is, and everyone is at first just replying to their stuff because that's how they get visibility, right? Before anyone even knows to go to their own feed, and then this kind of extrapolates out, and people get their own popularity over time, right? So there's going to be a huge advantage for the first people to run the first block publishing servers and cloud chains, right? In that their clout will attract the most hash power, and then, as I'm talking about, as what I'm referring to, the people who engage with those first cloud chains will also benefit, whether that's with a lightweight address, or which is again like a serverless address, which could eventually be turned into a TSN address with its own BPS, or whether you just have your own that's not that popular and you're engaging with some of the first more popular BPSs. Again, TSN address must have a BPS, which helps you create your blockchain or the identity blockchain, which has its own cloud chain, which embeds layers work on top of your identity chain, as well as processing cloud transactions and distributing the supply of cloud. So you can imagine that the first people to engage are going to get rewarded, whether it's good or not. Over time, that sort of helps bootstrap the value of the cloud. Eventually, as the supply goes down and the person becomes more popular and has more people engaging with them, then it gets, I'm sure it would get to more, well, I'm only going to tip some real good, interesting content that I think is worth tipping, which is like likes in the system, but better because it's actual unit of account. And so, it's like, well, if you don't like what someone has to say, maybe you want to tip the replies to them, which are contrary to their opinion. So you're gonna clout ratio them, and it's like maybe you should be mining their clout if you don't like them, so you can promote the opinions that highlight how stupid they are because you hate them, right? Or you start your own block publishing server and help the system by creating, another user on the system, right? And you get your own attention on your own server. And you could say that people aren't going to post many contrary replies, but I don't think that's really true. I think in general, for the most part, anyone who has any belief in what they say is glad to entertain contrary viewpoints, and it helps enhance their viewpoints. I think it's really going to be, in other words, I think the fact that every single reply isn't automatically posted on the block publishing server it's being replied to is more just going to serve to mitigate spam, right? Like, no, you have no crypto scam accounts telling you to send them Bitcoin because who's going to put that on their own server? So, you have that benefit, right?